And another week of the calm before the storm. So everybody get to Walmart and get your bread and milk. It's very important. I don't have any prayer concerns, nor do I have announcements. Just make sure that you check all of the pads back at the back and sign up for the different things that we need volunteers for. I did check the dessert and soup auction that we're having in a couple of weeks. I believe we have 12 people signed up so far, so we can keep adding to that too. And I think Linda has an announcement about the Lenten booklets today.
Okay, this is the third and final Sunday that you have an opportunity to sign up to write a Lenten devotional for the booklet that we put out. The bad news is that there's still a few blanks on the sign-up sheet, but the good news is that there's not very many of them, and I do have the list of other people who signed up last year, and so if we don't get them all signed up today, some people may be getting a phone call to kind of twist your arm. But for those of you who are aware of what we're talking about and look forward to Ash Wednesday and getting that Lenten devotional to read during Lent, it's just a powerful experience to know that if we do it the right way, we're all reading the same devotional on the same day. Just another way of holding our congregation together. And if you're like many of us, as soon as we get the book, we read them all through. Barb Hill is one I know that intentionally tries not to do that. But then even though I've read them all through, it's just powerful to read them again, and sometimes again and again. So take this opportunity, and I really appreciate people who sign up not knowing what they're going to write about, because God will usually lead you in a certain direction on what to write about. So this will be on the usher stand after church. And along with it, Gayla has made some little business cards that tell the expectations. They just say, write about something, someone special to you, about 400 words, more or less. Format similar to Upper Room. And it tells you Gayla's email address. If you do it on computer, you can email it to her, so it's just ready to format for the booklet. But it's fine if you write it out longhand. Those need to go into the office or to me if you happen to see me, and we'll get them so that they can be done electronically. So thank you. Hope we get our last five or six filled up today. Thank you.
I have two announcements. The first one is that our general conference is coming for the United Methodist Church at the end of February, the 21st, I believe, to the 24th, 26th. We need to pray for the delegates that are going. We need to pray for our bishops. We need to pray for our United Methodists. We need to pray for our churches and our pastors and congregations. So please put that on your prayer list as that comes. And we're await to see what is going to happen before. Also, we have a guest here today. She is my best friend. Terry Eisenman is going to bring us a Haiti presentation in just a little while for the message, and she's going to do the children's message. But there's a couple things that are added. Guys in the booth, I didn't get back to you. So before the children's sermon, the kids downstairs have a song already, and they have practiced it, and they want to sing. So we're going to listen to them sing beforehand, and so we will want mics down here probably for the children. And then afterwards, Terry's going to talk a little bit about Haiti and do a slideshow. We are going to take up a love offering. I'm just going to tell you that right now, and we'll collect it afterwards. So just know that if you want to dig deep in your pocket, if you don't have it today, we hope that you will make a donation, and we'll talk a little bit after what she's talked about, and we'll give more details. So just know that that's coming.
Do we have any birthdays this week? How about anniversaries?
It's next week. We're good for this week. Okay. All right. Who does? Lucy does on Valentine's Day. How sweet. I'm sure she's not the only one. All right. Any others?
Are we ready to start? Okay, our praise song today is number 2129. I have decided to follow Jesus. Please stand if you can. Come, let us worship God, the creator and ruler of all the earth.
We long for the day when the rulers of the nations will sing God's praises and acknowledge him as their king.
The Lord is counting on his followers to spread the message of peace and work for the coming of his kingdom.
We gather this morning to hear God's call with hearts ready to respond.
Praise be to God. Remain standing for hymn number 344, Lord, You Have Come to the Lake Shore.
Without thee, your wise one.
may be seated, and I'm going to invite the kids who are going to sing to come up. Come on up. And while they are coming up, I think they're going to stand. Are you guys going to stand as you sing? Yeah, and you want to face that way. Face the congregation. As they're getting arranged and getting in order, I just want to let you know that that song, the song on the lakeshore, reminded me of when I was in Israel, and I think it maybe Terry too, when we were out on the Sea of Galilee with the boats, and the bishop and there was 147, 48 of us there, and it was absolutely wonderful as we were out on that sea on the boat, and you knew God was with you. And that song is just so moving for me. So, okay, are you guys all ready? Okay. Kids under construction? All right. Really loud, kids.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, we knew you'd join.
Oh, jeez. Excuse me.
Yes, it's on.
Okay, we're on.
I got it. Hi, guys. You know, I sometimes speak at other churches, too, and my favorite thing is to talk to your kids because I love the things that you say sometimes. who can tell me what this thing is right here? What is this? It's a bucket. And I need 5 volunteers. So, whoa! Help me out, Susan. You choose. You choose. Okay. I'm a missionary, and I go to Haiti every year. And we support an orphanage there that has 23 kids in it. And for a long time, before we were able to get them clean water, they had to walk to the river to get water and carry it back to the orphanage. And it was about a mile down there. And they would carry it back to the orphanage on their heads, like that. Now, that doesn't feel very heavy, does it? No. But if we were to put about 6 gallons of water in there, that would be over 40 pounds on your head. And there were girls your size who would carry a bucket full of water a mile back to the orphanage every day. And I had a young man with me who was 17 years old and a very strong football player, and when he tried to do it, he didn't make it. So I want you to pour that into the bucket, okay? Okay, that's got the lid on. Pour that in. Who else wants to pour?
We only have 3 buckets.
Okay. Okay, I'll let you pour 2. That's not even close to being full. Okay, would you guys drink that water? No, why not? It came right from the faucet. You wouldn't drink it? It's clear as can be. Look in the bucket. It's clean water. Now, who wants to make it dirty? Huh? Yeah, I'll let you do it, honey. Put that in there. Ooh. So who wants to stir it up? Okay, there we go. Stir it up good.
You can't see it? Right.
Okay, we'll let you see it. Ugh. Now who wants a drink?
No.
What?
Dirty water?
Oh, come on.
Why not? It's dirty.
It's dirty. Well, I'll tell you what. People in Haiti have to drink water that looks just like that because they don't have water like we do. We go to the sink and pour water in a glass and drink it. They don't have that. They have to walk to a river and get dirty water and drink that. And so this bucket and this filter, we take these to Haiti to help people who have dirty water to have clean water. And it's called a Sawyer water filter. And it filters out 99.9% of all contaminants. Yep. And we're gonna see who is the bravest of all. It's gravity fed, so I'm hoping this works. There it goes. Going kind of slow at first. Doesn't come out real fast like our faucets, does it? Be hard to take a shower under that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But they shower in the ocean and then just dry off because they don't even have showers in Haiti.
What?
Because the people are so poor. They don't have money like we do. We are very blessed in this country. Okay, who's the most courageous one here? Oh, come on. That doesn't look dirty, does it? Come up here and look in the bucket first.
There you go. That's pretty dirty in here, isn't it?
So you gonna drink that? Come on.
Take a sip.
Yay!
It didn't taste dirty, did it? Because it went through the filter.
Because this little tiny filter here filters out all the yuck.
I don't.
Go for it.
Like water,
doesn't
it?
The same as real water.
All right.
No water. I don't want any.
You don't want any. Oh, that's okay. So, you can go back and sit down. So, anyway, I go to Haiti and we support this little orphanage and they have clean water now, but we also teach people how to use this water filter so that they can share clean water with their villages. And that's one of the things that I'm going to talk about this morning in my presentation. But I just want you kids to know how lucky you are that you can, like, get in the shower and take a hot shower every day if you want to, or get in the bathtub and it's nice and clean with bubbles. However you get clean, you can go to the sink and get water. They can't. They have to work really hard to get water, and then it's not very clean. So can we pray for the people of Haiti right now? Can you bow your heads with me? Dear Lord, we just thank you for all these beautiful children, the brave ones and the not-so-brave ones. We're all different, Lord. Some of us are brave and some of us aren't, like me. So we just thank you that you give us courage, you give us strength, and you give us love to take care of other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for singing this morning. You guys were great.
You rock. All right, so now we have bulletins for you. Get your bulletin, get a Valentine card, and make sure you go out and first and second grade class were the ones that made them. So those who made them, go out and give those out, and then I think our choir will get ready while we're doing that, and Linda's going to come up and say something while they're passing out cards. Yeah, I just sent them over here.
We've had another Wednesday weather, no choir rehearsal, so this is going on at least a month since we've had a choir rehearsal. So again today, we're doing a rerun of something we sang earlier. In fact, we sang it the first Sunday Sue was here. It's a song that I sometimes think we ought to call a theme song for this congregation. I picked it out because Valentine's Day is this week. The anthem is called Love Grows Here. And surely those of us a part of this congregation know that love does truly grow here. Thank you.
Tell me what you see.
Our Old Testament reading today is from Psalm 36, verses 5 through 10. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your salvation to the upright of heart. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
Now we'll sing Sanctuary, and I like this song to be a prayerful song, so just remain seated, and we will sing through two times. Sanctuary. It's a time when we go to our Lord in prayer and conclude with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. O loving and gracious God, our Father, the Creator of all heaven and earth, you are the one who we honor this day and praise your name. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We ask, Lord, that you continue to fill us with your Holy Spirit, to guide and lead us, to bring comfort and peace. And Lord, we do pray for our general conference of our United Methodist Church as they will meet this next week. And we ask, Lord, that you bathe them with peace and patience, with guidance, with love, and that they will have safe travel to and from this conference. We continue to pray for this church and the direction that you are asking us to go, and to go beyond this building, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And as we love you, that should be an easy task to do. So Lord, use us that we may be your hands and feet to your people, that the kingdom of God here on earth will grow and all will know your name from here to the people of Haiti, to Port-au-Prince, to around the world, that we are all one body of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask that you be with our speaker this morning, Terry, as she brings the news from Haiti to here, that we have open hearts and open ears and ready to be your servants. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus, who taught us to pray together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not
So good to have Terry here, and she has picked a scripture that is her favorite, and that I know is God as well, as they're using that same scripture today in Sunday school. And we thank Bev for leading as Carrie is away for the weekend. So thank you, Bev. So here this scripture of Philippians 4:4-7 is printed in the bulletin. I'm going to read through 8. Hear these words. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. For this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So Terry and I met. I was her pastor in Edmore, Michigan. She had known Jim because she had gone to the church that Jim went to over at Pine River in Blanchard, because she just lived down the street for a while, and she had moved to Edmore in church. And so Terry was going to Haiti for many years, and she kept asking me if I would go to Haiti, and I looked at her and went, nope. Because I was a scaredy cat. But I said, I'll sponsor a child. And I paid her some money and sponsored a child, and I've been doing that for 11 years now. And how many years have you been going to Haiti? 16 years. And she finally got me to go last year. Took her a while. Took God a while. I kept saying, I'm not going. She may tell you some more of that, but I am just so blessed. Terry, also, I'll just give you a little background. We did Emmaus together. We did studies together. We worshiped together and roomed an annual conference together. And she introduced me to my husband. What a blessing. What a blessing. So the three of us are very tight and very close and have a great love for each other. And every church I go to, I take Terry with me and say, Terry, you got to tell the people about Haiti. Now, I got to tell you, they should have been in Haiti right now. And the group, I could not go this year. I've been at the Holy Land without my health. It was a good thing that I hadn't signed up. However, they would have been there. But right now, there's so much unrest. There's demonstrations. There's, and she can tell you more. It is incredible what is happening in Haiti, and life is expensive. And I think I heard gas was like $10 or $11, you know, a gallon. Wow. So I'm going to introduce to you my best friend, Terry Eisenman.
I think I'm on. I am. Thank you for having me this morning. I was blessed to be in your Sunday school today and worshiping God and talking about the Bible with a whole room full of saints was really touching to me. But I'm here today to talk about one of my passions, the people of Haiti. But before I do that, it's important that I give you some of my personal background, because my story is one that proves God can use anyone to accomplish his plans. God's love, God loves to use the weak to showcase his mighty power, and he's done that in my life. As Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. I am one of those weak and foolish things. In the year 2000, I was baptized at 53 years of age. I was also a highly functioning alcoholic and had been for 30 years. 2 years after my baptism, still drinking every day, my pastor, Dale Golden, shocked me by inviting me on a mission trip to Haiti, of all places. Now, not only was I an alcoholic, the closest I ever came to a Bible was the big fat one that someone had given me 40 years ago that I stuck under my computer monitor to make it high enough for me to see. I was completely clueless about what living a godly life in Christ meant. And when asked to go on this mission trip, I told Pastor Dale, "You gotta be kidding. I'm no missionary. Never read the Bible. Besides, I'm broke." I don't think I mentioned the alcohol at that time. But I had plenty of excuses not to go. And I am very thankful that God and my pastor ignored my excuses. I have since discovered that ignoring my excuses is one of God's superpowers. After agreeing not to drink alcohol in Haiti, you have to do that on the UMVIM application form, I told myself that I could quit for 2 weeks, no problem. And then I found myself in Haiti. I was stunned by the sights and the sounds and the smells of abject poverty in Haiti. They are the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and I was totally overwhelmed. By the time we arrived in Jeremy the next day, which is 120 miles from Port-au-Prince, I was just whipped. How could these poor people possibly live like this? Have you ever heard the expression that Jesus will meet you right where you're at? That dark night, as I sat staring at the trees from the porch of the guest house, I experienced Jesus. Asking myself, what am I doing here? What can I possibly do to make a difference? I was worn out physically and emotionally. It was hot. It was humid. I was dirty. The water wasn't running, and there was no air moving at all. Felt like a sauna. And as I sat there and I gazed out over these beautiful banana trees with these huge leaves, and it was really close to me, I had a thought. I said, I wonder what it sounds like when it rains here with all these trees and these big, huge, beautiful leaves. And suddenly, and I'm talking like right now, the sky opened up and the rain just came down in buckets. Huh. It was loud, it was joyful, it was beautiful, and I was instantly energized, and I ran up the stairs to my bedroom and grabbed my bathing suit and put it on and went out and danced in God's rain. I cherish that memory. It was God's unique and personal welcome given just for me. That memory helps me remember we have a personal God who gives us hope when we need it, strength when ours is gone, and encouragement when we're lost and confused. Returning to the comforts of home, I found myself really grateful for simple things that we all take for granted, like clean water, electricity 24/7, smooth roads, hot showers, and abundant food. But before long, I was drinking again. Unbeknownst to me, however, the personal God that I met in Haiti had not left me. In his infinite mercy, God sent me a devastating letter through my youngest son, telling me that I would never see my grandchildren, because I was a drunk. That did it. I fell, literally fell to my knees in tears and prayed to a God I barely knew to take away my addiction. That day, God saved me. I never wanted nor had another drink. That is amazing grace. That day, I pledged my life to God. And you know what? He never forgot it. Because I have returned every year with the United Methodist Volunteer and Mission Team to carry out Jesus' great commission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Every year, that is, but this one. There were some demonstrations in October. We always planned to go in February, and there were some demonstrations in October that made me a little nervous, but I thought, well, we'll be fine. We have people who care for us there and on the ground, so we'll be fine. By Christmas, I was kind of doubting whether we should go, and then we had our January packing meeting, which is we usually pack up duffel bags to go, and I said, I want each one of you to tell me how you feel about going to Haiti this year. I'm getting mixed messages, and I just want some feedback, so talk to me. And to a person, except for Nick, my risk taker, said, you know, I just don't feel like we're supposed to go. And we talked for a good hour and a half. And Nick was upset because Nick really wanted to go. And we made the decision as a team not to go, not knowing why at the time, until this week when the demonstrations have gone really bad. Thousands of people are in the streets and they're demonstrating against a president who's done absolutely nothing to help them. He's made things worse. A gallon of gas is $10. The cost of living has doubled. And people are starving. And they want it to stop. And so they're going to stay demonstrating until they do something in Haiti. And I don't know how long that's going to be. I have friends that are going next week and other friends that are going in March. And so I just pray that they are able to go. Because when we don't go, the people that depend on us as interpreters or workers, they don't make any money, and they need that. They depend on teams coming to make money. So that was God's, another little miracle that God sent me. I've depended on God since, and I just thank you for letting me kind of be in Haiti this morning, because I can't be there in person, but I can be there in my heart. I want to give you a little background on this lady that I met in 2006 in Haiti. Her name is Mrs. Eddy, and I met her after a church service in Roseau. And Mrs. Eddy's heart had gone out to the children who were wandering the streets of Roseau because they were homeless and hungry. And speaking through an interpreter after church, me and two other members from the Detroit area were there, and we learned that she was a very faithful, longtime Christian who had recently promised God to feed these kids if God would send help, because she couldn't afford to feed as many kids that were wandering the streets. And I was so taken by her story and her willingness to step out in faith, because I'd certainly never done anything like that, that I gave her all of my souvenir money. I had $170 in my Bible, and I just handed it over and told her I'd try and help. Well, later that day, I overheard my Detroit team members laughing at me for being so gullible and naive to give them all my money. And I wondered for just a few seconds if I'd been had, but it felt to me like the right thing to do. So back at home, I started an adopt-a-child feeding program that continues to feed about 40 people a day, thanks to God and faithful sponsors like Susan and Jim and this church. I sometimes wonder what those unbelieving team members from Detroit would think if they realized what God did through this weak and foolish old recovering alcoholic. They saw a fool. God saw a weak but willing servant. We were also in Haiti in 2010, packing to go home when the 7.2 earthquake hit. And God miraculously got us home. Through the airports that were closed, the airspace was closed, everything was closed to all but emergency flights. And for 5 days, we painted and we painted and we painted to stay busy while we worked at getting away home. And we sang that song this morning over and over and over again. And peace descended upon us. We knew that God was going to get us home, and he did. In 2015, God sent Doug Ahlfeld my way at our United Methodist annual conference. He was there showing off his styrofoam homes that he was building for Haiti because they are earthquake-proof, and that piqued my interest. Up to this time, if you could show that first slide, please. Up to this time, a tiny crumbling structure next to Mrs. Eddy's property, which would have been condemned by our standards, was used to sleep some of the kids, and then others slept with merciful neighbors or in Mrs. Eddy's humble home. Doug was the nudge I needed to think seriously about building an orphanage for Mrs. Eddy's kids. We had saved about $17,000, half of what Doug estimated we would need for the orphanage. And we needed at least 5 months lead time to manufacture the styrofoam forms and get them delivered to Rousseau. It was June, and our trip to Haiti was scheduled in February, so it was time for me to make a decision. So one day in prayer, God and I had a serious conversation. He said, go. I said, no. He said, go. A little louder. I said, but I don't have enough money, God. Good excuse, right? He said, go, trust me. But Lord, I'm scared. What if I make all the plans and order all of the material and we don't have enough money? Besides, I only have a high school education and I don't know how to build anything. He said, I will provide. So I took a deep breath. And with my stomach doing cartwheels, I said, okay. And I jumped off the cliff. And God did provide. Doug offered to go to Mrs. Eddy's and work alongside Lovely. That's Mrs. Eddy's daughter's name, Lovely, who had just completed her degree in civil engineering. In less than a year, God doubled what had taken us about 6 years to save, and we had enough money to build a structure that the kids could move into in February of 2016. From the first day of digging the footings to putting on the roof was exactly 40 days. It's a good number if you read the Bible. After the fact, I learned that virtually nothing gets built in Haiti in 40 days. Nothing. Maybe 40 years, but not 40 days. People still come to the orphanage to see God's 40-day miracle. Did I do that? Uh-uh. All I did was surrender my worries and excuses and trust and obey. I say that with a smile on my face, but it was hard. But you know what? My almighty faithful God did the rest. Praise be to God. Then by the time Hurricane Matthew hit the orphanage in 2016, just 8 months after its completion, I didn't even ask God why. I remembered his faithfulness and trusted that he would again provide. He poured out more than enough resources and people to get the repairs done, and we had money to give away for other projects. It was amazing. Improvements continue, and those 23 children and Mrs. Eddy's family continue to praise God, unlike myself, who forgets to do that sometimes. I found this out 2 years ago, that they have held a three-hour prayer vigil at the orphanage every Friday night for the last 16 years. 3 hours. They pray for themselves, of course, but they also pray for me, every team member that's ever gone with me, every team member that will ever go with me, and all of the sponsors that sponsor food and school for the children. You've got people in Haiti praying for you, and man, do they know how to pray. I am humbled by their perseverance and faith and prayer, and I am humbled by a God who is sovereign. He's in control of everything. I'm in control of nothing. We learned about that in Sunday school today. He's in charge of watching over all of his people, yet he condescends from his throne to talk to me, to help me, to encourage me, to give me his strength, and pour out resources so that I can do his work. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. So with that long background, sorry, let's go to Haiti. It's going to be hard for me to see. That's really far away for me. That is the orphanage that the children slept in for about 5 years at the bottom left. It was a tiny little, you can see the inside there, a tiny little place, and it was falling down, crumbling. We put a new roof on it, but it still leaked. And so that's when we knew we would have to build an orphanage one day. Go ahead. That was the kitchen that she had originally, outdoor kitchen with all the animals that would walk through, and she no longer has that kitchen. Thank goodness. Go ahead. That was the orphanage as it was finished in 2016, 7 months before the hurricane hit. Go ahead. And this was 2 years after the hurricane. When that hurricane hit Jeremy, it parked over Jeremy for 16 hours. 165-mile-an-hour winds for 16 hours. There was virtually not a roof anywhere. But it only took part of the roof of the orphanage. Amen. But all the trees were gone or broken off. And it was so sad to go there that year right after the hurricane, because it used to be so beautiful. And it wasn't beautiful anymore. It was awful. But 2 years later, look what God's done. It's green again. So I praise God. Go ahead. This was the team. You'll notice that lady there in the front on the left. This was her first trip to Haiti. And there was another newbie in there with her, Emily. We had seven gals, and the next slide will show the guys. I had our builders there. Nick's been going with me. He's on the right. He's been going with me since he was 16 years old. He's the one that carried the bucket on his head, or tried to. He now has two children of his own, and they sponsor one of the boys at the orphanage. Mel is 84 years old and still going with me to Haiti, strong as an ox. And Ricky up top there, he's a grandson to the lady who goes with us. That's our nurse. And he's been to Haiti now twice and couldn't go this year because he bought a house. So I think that we'll see him go again next year. Go ahead. Who's that lady right there? Susan.
That's my daughter, Fiona.
That's mine. And with me, oh my gosh, we had such fun.
No, that's not yours. No.
Nope, oh, not in the love. No, me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
You. But I've never seen Susan smile like this for like 6 hours straight without stopping. She just had this thing on, stuck her face open when she met Mrs. Eddy. Mrs. Eddy didn't know she was coming, and Susan has sponsored her daughter, Mrs. Eddy's daughter, since the beginning with food and with tuition to go to the top-notch school in Jeremy. And so she didn't know Susan was coming. And when I introduced her to Mrs. Eddy, Mrs. Eddy just screamed. She screamed and grabbed Susan, and she just jumped up and down, and they held hands for the longest time. She was so happy to see Susan and so grateful that her daughter's gotten an excellent education because of Susan and Jim Platt.
Yeah, and I think my daughter's now 16, so if I would have really looked at the picture there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But she was about that age when she started.
It's coming.
Okay.
The picture's coming.
All right.
So go ahead. And this was our other newbie, Emily. She made two best friends there, and she had the same problem. Her face was just like that all the time. I didn't get it. Go ahead. And that's Mrs. Eddy on the left. Strong, strong woman. Physically, emotionally, faithfully, this woman is the strongest lady I know. To take care of 23 kids and then feed, you know, 10 or 12 more from the community. She doesn't turn anybody away. If somebody's hungry, she feeds them. And that's her daughter, Lovely, next to her, who helped build the orphanage. And it was funny, Doug said, when we were going to build it, he said, you know, men in Haiti don't like women who work. Women are supposed to do the laundry and carry water and cook. And she's not going to be able to supervise these guys, so I need to be there so that I can help her supervise the men. Because she had a crew of, like, I don't know, almost 20 guys at first. And after 4 days, he texted me and he said, I don't know why I'm here. This girl is amazing. And he's actually hired Lovely to supervise a couple of his other jobs because she was so good at what she did and wasn't afraid to tell the guys what to do at all. So she's a blessing as well. Go ahead. I can't see what that is. Oh, yeah, we now have, thanks to a lady in Detroit who's a nurse and who visited the orphanage, she hired a gal who's a nurse in Haiti to visit the orphanage once a week and make sure the kids are healthy and happy, and they are. So I praise God for that. I always worried about that with the kids. Go ahead. And they didn't have any transportation. Anytime they needed to go get food, Jeremy's 16 miles away from Roseau, they had to go out by taxi. And taxi is a motorcycle, and carrying back groceries for 23 kids on a motorcycle is kind of difficult. So they have these neat three-wheeled Haugen motorcycles, and we're working on our second one. Vehicles don't last very long in Haiti. The roads are bad, and the salt water eats away at things. And the other problem is that people of Haiti, because they never have to maintain anything because they don't own much, they don't know how to maintain. And so we've had difficulty getting them to understand that you need to clean the batteries, and you need to change the oil and stuff like that. So we're working on that, but it's a every time we go kind of thing. And fuel is, like Susan said, $10 or more a gallon with this. It's a Venezuelan fuel thing that's going on, and they're just really hurting. People can't afford to eat anymore because there's just no money. That's the current shower facility and outhouse, and it needs a lot of work, and so that's something we still need to work on when we go. I'm hoping that Nancy can do something. She's supposed to go in March, but I don't know if she's going to be able to go. That's the shower area that we had built 2 years ago, and it still looks just like that because we just haven't had the money to complete it. So they still swim in the ocean or pour water over their heads to take a shower. That's a couple of the kids. The one on the left is Danielson. He is the Maine's little boy, and the guy on the right is one of the Casimir boys, and they make their own toys. They don't have toys. They make their own toys. They make kites, and they make, you know, roll a wheel down the road like some of you did when you were little. Go ahead. That's a couple of the older girls. We painted rocks that year, and the kids had fun doing that. Go ahead. There's the three youngest, not three youngest, but the three newest at the orphanage. Dola on the left. Lovely found her abandoned down by the river, naked, crying, and found out that the mother had mental issues and didn't take care of the child. And she found the mother and asked if the mother would like them to take care of Dola. So they did. They took her to the orphanage, and she is a peach. Oh, my goodness. And then the two other kids. Go ahead. There's Susan with Rose Bearsh on the left. And I think that's Rose Bearsh on the right, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Yep, yep. Yep, she's a beautiful gal, and she's very smart and very grateful.
She painted that rock for me. I have it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she gave that to me
awesome.
As a gift.
That's great. Go ahead. That's Jessica on the left with Nick Clarison. She and Nick Clarison get along because they're both goofy. and she's missing Nick Clarkson. And that's Ricky. The boy that's on his right, he was a problem child at the orphanage. He and his brothers and sisters had experienced their father's death in front of their eyes. And so not only were they starved but didn't get any attention, that was a traumatic thing to happen. And this little guy acted out all the time. And he, if you'd look at him, he'd cry. If you handed him something to eat, he would cry. He just didn't want to be touched. And we couldn't do anything with him, neither could Mrs. Eddy. And when Ricky came, and it was Ricky's first trip, Ricky had kind of a hard childhood. And they connected. And those two are just like best buds. They're best friends. And he has, it's changed this little kid to have this great big giant of a boy. He's only 21. Be his friend. So it was a beautiful thing. You know, that Haiti does that to people, doesn't it,
yes,
Susan?
Yes, it does. Yes.
It makes us grateful, like it did me, but it also changes lives. People who go just go home, and it's like, what do I have to complain about? I'm so blessed. And it really does make you so much, so much more grateful. Go ahead. There's the Mains on the left with Danielson and Diana Marble on the right with the two gals that she sponsors. She tried to adopt Esther, but she was too old. The U.S. wouldn't let her do it. And that's a heartbreak for her, but she continues to sponsor and continues to go, and she's our nurse, so we appreciate her very much. Go ahead. And there is your gal. There's Jesna Joseph. Jesna's been with the orphanage since the beginning. She was one of the kids that stood in front of me the second year I was there, and there's only like four or five. Rose Bear's just one of them. But she's a lovely, lovely young gal, and I thank you for feeding her and caring for her. Go ahead. Mrs. Eddy feeds 40-plus people, like I said, and they eat out of those great big bowls. They're actually like dog bowls that we have in this country. They're pretty big. But the kids only get one meal a day, so it's a big one, and they don't get it until they come back from school. And there they are. Thank God for my food sponsors. I have some that are still hanging out from the beginning. People that have just hung in there. It's amazing to me. Go ahead. That's a table that one of our team members built a few years back, and all the kids can sit down and eat at once. And then Mrs. Eddy has a kitchen now. She has a sink with water, and she has storage to put stuff away so that she can keep the animals out. And she is very, very grateful. But they are still cooking on charcoal or on wood because there's no power out there. We take so much for granted. Anyway, Haiti's almost completely deforested because of people needing to cook what food they have. And so she wants to buy a like a propane-run stove. It's a very simple structure. It's just a steel structure that she can put the big pots on. But it's going to cost, I think, $1,300, $1,500, something like that. I can't remember. So she's asking that for that, and I don't have the money right now, so we'll just have to wait and see.
God is good.
Yep.
Provide.
God is good. Go ahead. These are our guys. They put up some shelves so she could get her food off the floor, and every year we have to repair the bunk beds because these kids like to jump on beds. Can you imagine?
They're kids.
They're kids. Go ahead. And I had a wonderful surprise. Nancy Smith, she's from Birmingham First, and she's a nurse. And she surprised me and took a team last year after we had been there. And they tiled the entire orphanage. It was just a concrete floor before. And Mrs. Eddy had a heck of a time keeping the dirt up. And so they went and tiled that whole orphanage and painted the whole thing in and out. And not only that, but they hired a guy who had left the orphanage. He'd been there for years in the feeding program, but he had left, and he had been taught how to tile, so they hired him to do the tiling. So that was just awesome that he got to put the tile down for the place that he used to live. And there's Nick. Nick was missing his babies. His wife didn't go that year, and so he was there all alone. And there was a little baby that was crying and crying and crying, and nobody could settle her down. And so he took the baby and sat down and started singing, "You Are My Sunshine," to her, and she fell right to sleep. And he couldn't give her up. He had to sit there with her. It was wonderful. We do have electricity at the orphanage when it's working. Like I said, maintenance is an issue, especially with batteries. So we are wired for solar power, and we have enough panels for them to have electricity, but story for another day. Go ahead. Oh, yeah. This is the, as you know, sometimes boys and girls don't get along, but as they get older, sometimes they get along too well. So we have, Lovely took it upon herself to build a separate building for the boys, and so she's doing that, and I think Nancy Smith's team's going to put doors and windows on it this trip, so that'll be good. The boys and girls will be separated. And this is the beach that's just a couple minutes walk from the orphanage, so it's right on the ocean. It's beautiful there. It's just beautiful. The Caribbean can be amazing. Scary too, when the wind blows, but it's a beautiful place. Go ahead. We went to church on Sunday, and my three, Ricky and Jessica and Nick, were asked by the pastor to get up and do parts of the service, and this was Ricky's, like, first time there, and he got right up, and he's really nervous to talk in front of people, but he got right up. All three of them did. I was so proud of him. It was wonderful, and you know what? I wish you could hear the people in Haiti sing. Oh. They have no musical instruments. Their voices are their instruments, and they let God know how much they love him loudly. It's wonderful to go to church.
Amen.
There. Susan got to experience our going away party, although both of us were kind of sick. Every year they dance for us, and they put on a play, and they sing for us. And we sang back to them, and it was a beautiful going away. And the circuit superintendent even stayed for that, which was wonderful to have him there. It was a nice goodbye. It's always hard that day because we
take
leave.
Say goodbye.
Yeah, to say goodbye. Go ahead. That's we have a party, and we had the we brought some nail polish, and the girls were just feeling so beautiful, as you can see by Sentia there. She's got an attitude.
Yes, she does.
Go ahead. And they had some costumes that they asked money for their independence celebration, and they're still using them for special occasions. That's Johnny on the right there, our interpreter driver. Johnny's the prince of a man. Go ahead. And we discovered a few years ago that they love to do the pinata thing, and there's no pinatas in Haiti, and we can't carry them in because they're too big, so we just made one out of paper bags, and they absolutely just loved smacking that bag.
They sure
and,
did.
Oh my gosh. They were
and the candy that came
so
out of it.
Thrilled. So thrilled. It's their favorite thing to do when we come. Who is that? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
Oh, that's Samanka's sister. I can't think of her name right now. Anyway, beautiful people. They're beautiful people. And there's my three amigas, Jessica and Emily and
Do you notice they're
Nikki.
Young? They're young.
Mm-hmm.
Went on this Haiti trip.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yep. And now they all come to my Bible study now.
Amen.
Isn't that great? Okay, what is Oh, we teach them when we go. We teach them Bible school to the younger kids and life skills to the older kids at the orphanage. We taught first aid at a school, and I'll show some pictures of that in a minute. And then, of course, the clean water training. We take in Sawyer water filters. We get buckets donated. We get them shipped, and we go out into the rural areas and train people on how to use these water filters and share them with other people, and it's been very successful, and a lot of people have clean water because of those efforts. There's our two trainers. We had them trained, and so now they go out and train at churches, and people are so grateful to get clean water. They walk miles to get there. Yeah, keep going. Keep going. Those are just some of the people that we trained. And this was the training, the first aid training that Diana put on last year. We bought some books that are very helpful. They're in Creole, so the kids could read them. And they were so excited to be able to help their community by knowing first aid. And they want us to come back and do something else. And it's like, okay, what? So I need a teacher to go with me next time. And this was the classroom training, and then a picture of all of us at the end there on the bottom. That's Ricky and Judson. They were teaching each other. Ricky was learning Creole, and Judson was learning English. Makes for a lot of laughter. Haitians teach us so much more than we could ever teach them. They really do. Haiti teaches us flexibility, because nothing ever goes right. You can't plan anything. If you plan to be there at 9, you might get there by 11. And you plan to take some stuff with you, but then, oops, we don't have that, so we're going to have to stop at the store and buy some.
And church goes, like, for whenever, how long? So I know we're a little over time, but we're going to...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, we're okay. You can finish up, right. And... but enjoy it, because they do, and this is the Lord's day, right? This is the Lord's day, and we're worshiping and praising Him. So,
all right, I'll wrap up. I would like you all to read, if you can see that far. This is the same scripture that Susan read to you just a little while ago, but it's from the Message, and to me, it really talks about the people of Haiti. And how they respond to God and each other. So let's read it together.
Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in Him. Make it clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the Master is about to arrive. He could show up any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displays His worry at the center of your life.
So I'm not going to take any more of your time, but I wanted you to see this picture. That, to me, is a picture of praising God. And I wish that I had the courage to stand up in front of people and worship God like that little girl's doing right there. So thank you for listening to me, and I'm sorry if I ran over a little bit.
No, that's fine. What I'd like to do is just keep those pictures rolling as we take up offering.
Aww.
But one of the things that we want to do is... you saw that they cook with wood, and they cook on the floor. So towards that $1,300, $1,500, we're hoping to be able to add to, we may not get that amount, but whatever amount we can, that they can be able to cook, not off the floor. So we're going to take up our morning offering, our regular offering. And then I'm going to ask the ushers to stand in the back and over here at the sides, like each doorway, for the love offering, to keep it separate. So let's take up our morning offering first and praise God. And Terry has applications. If you would like to sponsor a child, see us afterwards, and we will tell you more on that. Oh God, you provide for all of us, especially here in the United States of America, where we have water that we can drink and water to be able to take a shower. We ask, Lord, that you use these gifts that we've got today to further the kingdom of God here on earth, but not just in Sandusky, but throughout the world and in Haiti, in Puerto Rico, and wherever your need is. We ask that you bless each one in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing the summons. This is a great song, and then we can have fellowship. So let's sing. As we go forth from here, let us give thanks and rejoice in God for all that he gives to us. And will we remember people like the people of Haiti that have nothing and the unrest that is setting there now? And will we pray for them and hear that God is calling us to go and help others, whether it's here or there? Go in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Terry.